All right, let's go. Parshas Vayishlach. No, it's all good. Parshas Vayishlach sets up the problem. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav Aleisav Achiv Arta Seirs Ve'Edom. Yaakov sent out messengers / angels in front of him to Esav, his brother, Arta Seir, to the land of Seir, to stay in with the land of Edom, field of Edom. Now, you should know, this vort is the beginning. This vort is the beginning of what's going to be. What's going to be with... I guess tomorrow I'm going to talk about the whole thing that happened in Mumbai. So there's going to be a connection between this, what I'm going to say right now, this parsha, and my Musar Shmuz that I give tomorrow. Those who hear this will understand the Musar Shmuz a lot better. The Musar Shmuz is at Skokie. So that it'll be, it's online. It's online. It's going to be a 9:45, I believe Rabbi First is going to be there before me, so it'll be a 9:45. It's going to be connected with one another.
How long does it last?
Half an hour, 25 minutes. So here we go. When Yaakov sent the messengers,
I think I might go.
That's good stuff. When Yaakov sent these messengers, Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says he sent real malachim with them. Rashi says malachim mamish. He sent actual angels with those messengers. They were not real messengers, because the messengers were bringing over the animals over to Esav. They were bringing the camels and the donkeys and the goats and the sheep and the cows. They were bringing them over. They were bringing them all over to Esav. However, there were real malachim that were with them. It's Banu El Achiv. Later on, when they come back, by Shuva Malachim O Yaakov, they came back. Banu El Achiv Al Esav. The real messenger said, "We went to your brother to Esav." And then it says that aside from that, there were other malachim. There were other malachim that was returned. It's Vayeshuvu Malachim. The Vayeshuvu Malachim are the actual angels that came. So there's both. There's both of those that came back. You have to understand something. Yaakov had malachim that were with him at all times. Ki malachov yitzav alach, as me and Rafi sing every Friday night before we sing Eshes Chayil. I think we're the only people in the world that do it. Oh, you get it? All right. Oh, we got some guys over here. Ki malachov yitzav alach. There are malachim that do it. It's very similar. If anybody knows, by Avram Avinu, I'm going to be merames to a lot of Kabbalah over here with these words. Avram Avinu, when he sent Eliezer Eved Avram over to go get Rivka, sent over the angel Metat with him. If you know your stuff, you will know that Metat is known as a Nar, and you also know that Eliezer Eved Avram is known as a Nar. There's a connection between the neshamas of Eliezer Eved Avram and Metat. It has nothing to do with Og, with another thing altogether, in which Eliezer Eved Avram somehow connects with Chanoch, who is Metat. It was Metat, the shoemaker, so to speak. Very similar to Metat being sent with Eliezer Eved Avram, Yaakov Avinu sent Malachim over. Rav Schwab says it's pashut why he had to do so. It's pashut. He was afraid that his messengers are going to be killed. Esav was a nut job. Esav was a skit. He was completely crazy. If he saw these messengers coming by and he knew it was from Yaakov, he'd kill him. He'd kill him. And send them back their heads. He's afraid of that. So he sent Malachim over to Esav so that Esav wouldn't kill the regular messengers that were there. Now, who are these Malachim? At the end of last week's parsha, Yom Yaakov Kesher Ram Machne Elokim Zeh, when Yaakov saw these Malachim that met up with him, he saw these as a camp of gods. Vayikoshim Vakomahu Machanoim. He called them Machanoim. Machanoim, says the Chidah, stands for Meosam Chayalos Natal Yaakov Malachim. From those armies, Yaakov took the Malachim. He took from that Machanoim, that Machne Elokim that he met, he took the Malachim and he's like, oh, I have something to do. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. And he took the Malachim and sent them over with the messengers to go send them out. Now here we go. The Tefer Shlomo Shmuel says, why did it have to be Machanoim? Tefer Shlomo said, the Redamsker, why did it have to be Machanoim? Two Machanes is just one Machane Elokim. One Machane of Malachim that came up to him when he sent the Malachim out. Listen to this. It says Tefer Shlomo, every mitzvah that you do, you create a Malach. That Malach doesn't go up to Shemayim. The Malach is with you at all times. When you daven Shacharis in the morning, all the Malachim that you created through your davening, whether it's Pesukei Zimra, Brachos, Shmon Esrei, they're there with you all day long. Those who are good can see the Malachim that you've created on the side of you. They can see those Malachim. But they're with you all day long. You never lose them. They're with you.
So what if you do bad things during that day?
There are black Malachim with you as well. And black Malachim I do not mean as black people, because that would be racist and wrong. I mean, they are evil malachim, malachim that wear shchorim, that wear black clothing, instead of the white malachim, and that also means white clothing, malachim, that are with you at all times. That's what ends up being. That's what the Zohar says, that you have white or black malachim that are with you at all times. That was the Raya. What did he say over to Esav? What was the first thing that he said to him? Im lavan garati, I lived with Esav. I lived with lavan, I'm sorry. What does that mean according to Rashi? Taryag mitzvos shamarti. How do I know you kept 613 mitzvos? Every malach that Yaakov Avinu created through those Taryag mitzvos was the Machane Elokim that he had with him that he sent over to Esav. Aside from those malachim that he had created, aside from that, another group of malachim came to help. A group of malachim that came to help, says the Das HaKeinim, it was Michael and Gabriel. The same malachim that, if anybody remembers from the beginning of Vayetze, that went up the ladder. When he came back to Eretz Yisrael, they left to go upstairs because they couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. When he came back to Eretz Yisrael, right before he met Esav, these malachim came back down with their machanos, with all their chaylos, all the armies of myriads of malachim that were with them. Says the Baal HaTorim, 400 million malachim came with Michal and Gabriel. Each one of them had a certain amount of malachim that were with them the whole time.
They only had 400 men.
400 men, we're going to see why. 400 million malachim came with Michal and Gabriel to meet up with the malachim of the Taryag mitzvot that Yaakov Avinu had created while he was with Lavan, and they're the ones who went over to Esav, along with the messengers who were carrying over all the sheep and the goats and the cows and donkeys and everything else that was there. An absolute unbelievable amount of people that were there, all for over there. So why now? Why not for Lavan? Why didn't these malachim come up to him for Lavan? Why didn't he send over these malachim to Lavan? I mean, he learned Torah the whole time. He probably had thousands, hundreds of thousands of malachim. Why did he have to have them for Esav? What was the point by Esav? So here's the pshat. Esav is a tremendous kohos, but Esav has one thing that knocks him down. He believes in God. Esav truly believes there is a God in this world. He has no question, no doubt about God. You know what he doesn't believe in? He doesn't believe he has to do mitzvos. He doesn't have to listen to God. He isn't mekabel the yoke of heaven upon himself. He believes in God, but he doesn't believe that he has to do any mitzvos. Yeah.
What about
Kibbutz Av? Kibbutz Av, you're 100% right. Certain things he took on. But he didn't believe that he had to do it for the purpose of God. He did it because I have to honor my father. My dad's a great guy. But for God to do it because God says I should, that he didn't believe in. He was kofer by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What that means by kofer by Hashem, he was kofer in any mitzvah that Hashem gave. He said, why do I have to do it? What's the point of me doing it? That's who he was. So how do we combat Esav? How do you go up against Esav? You're mekabel ol malchus shemayim. When you accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven, then you automatically knock down the koach of Esav. Because the koach of Esav is to not be mekabel ol malchus shemayim, to believe in God, but believe I can do whatever I want. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. That's what Esav stood for. Says Yaakov, you know, I'm all about kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. Which is why what he did was, is he says, Ko somrun ladoni leesav. This is what you should say to Adoni Esav, to my master Esav. Ko is 25. Chaf hey. There are 25 letters in the first pasuk of Shema. He sent over those 25 letters of Shema to tell Esav, I'm ready to destroy you right now. I'm ready to destroy you. That's the pshat behind the pasuk. The pasuk says, V'haya beis Yaakov eish. The house of Yaakov will be a fire. Ubeis Esav lekash. The house of Esav will be straw. Lekash is lamed kuf shin lekriyashma. You want to destroy Beis Esav? You want to take care of Esav? Be makabo o malchus shemayim. Accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven and immediately you'll be able to destroy him. These malachim were malachim mamish. You know what mamish means? They were malachim that came to him because he was makabo malchus shemayim. That's what it means by Malachim Mamish. He sent over those Malachim Mekabel Malchus Shemayim. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that, he sent Malachim to combat him with those Malachim that were there before. And that, what was the reason why Gavriel and Michal were able to go up when Yaakov Yinu went and had the dream and everything? Because the pshat is, what did they do wrong? They went to Sodom and they were brought down a level. They were knocked down, says the Das HaKeinim. They were brought down to such a level that they said the word, I'm sorry, what's the word? Nashchisa. I'm forgetting the word. Mashchisim anachnu. We are destroyers. We're going to destroy the city of Sodom. Says God, you're going to destroy it? You're my messenger. You're a malach. I'm going to destroy it. It should be Yashchis Hashem is a makom hazeh. Not Mashchisim anachnu is a makom hazeh. See what pshat is? When the malachim came to such a tame place, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't deal with it. And they got knocked down to such a level where they thought that they were the ikker. That's what happened to the Malachim. And they had to stay on earth for over 170 years to be metaken that chait of thinking that they were the ones until Yaakov Avinu was going to go to Lavan. You know why Yaakov Avinu was successful, but the Malachim were not successful when they went to Sodom? Because the Malachim never prepared themselves. They didn't prepare themselves to get themselves ready to speak to these people. Yaakov prepared himself. What did he do, Rav?
He learned in Shemayim.
Learned the Yeshiva Shemayim for 14 years. He learned the Yeshiva Shemayim for 14 years to prepare himself to go over to Lavan and not fail in his mission to be with Lavan. 14 years he spent learning there. He couldn't just stand be a Yid. 14 years he spent learning. When the Malachim saw that, they understood what they had to do. They were metakin their chait, and they went back up to Shemayim. So when Yaakov came back, and they saw how successful he was, they came back down to help him because he was mamish mekabel ol malchus shemayim while he was with Lavan. And they came back to help him because that's the idea of mekabel malchus shemayim, that wherever you are, you do something. What's kriya shema? It's the hachana, it's the preparation for us speaking to God. You want to speak to God? You got to prepare yourself, and that's kriya shema. First you got to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim, and then afterward you go ahead. And that's pshat b'yan din tutzei shem shem. And this I say every year. Ezra Savosenu. We say it right after kriya shema. Ezra Savosenu. What's Ezra Savosenu? The help of our fathers. Who helped our fathers? Ezra is a gematria of 677. It's a gematria of three malachim. Michael, Malkiel, and Shanandiel. All three were malachim that helped out the avos in everything that they did. 677 is also the gematria of Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. So what malachim did Yaakov send? Malachim Mamish. What were those malachim? Mamish is Michael, Malkiel, Shanandiel. First letters, Mamish. First letters, Mem, Mem, and Shin. Those are the malachim they sent over. All because Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, and that's what happens when you're Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, you become like the Avos, and that prepares you to daven Shemona Esrei, which is the pure Ezra Savoseinu of Magen Avram, Mechaya, Mesem, and Atar Kadosh. Okay, there, you could go further with that, obviously. There's a lot to that. Okay, now Maril says, why Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanov, in front of him? Why in front of him? What's the pshat in doing it in front of him? What's the shot behind that little fun of itself? Hello, Rabbi Schechter, how are you?
I thought I learned the last Torah here.
No, not happening. The last Torah. Okay, you'll like this one. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanov. Why did he send them in front of him? What does that mean? Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, he sent them Malachim. That's where everybody gets it from. That's where Rashi gets it from. But the pasuk gets on the word Lefanov, Eli Savachim. What do you need that word Lefanov for? Says the Maril, Maisa Ovo Simin Labanim. What Yaakov Inu does over here in the Ramban says in the Akdama, the Parsha is Vayishlach is Akdama to the whole parsha. Every single thing he did over here is going to apply every time we go up against Esav. Every time we have a business deal and you have to deal with someone that's not Jewish, this parsha is what applies. Yaakovinu took care of every single time that a goy tries to trick us, that a goy tries to kill us, that a goy tries to do something bad to us. Yaakovinu was metakin it right here. Says the Maril, you know what he fixed up? Every single time he wants to do something bad, a malach is sent out from Shemayim to help you out. When Yaakov saw that Esau was ready to kill us, he sent Malachim to Esau. Not only the messengers of a gift, of a bribe, of everything. When you try to get yourself out from that goy, when you try to bribe your way out of it, or try to get yourself out of it, or do whatever you need to do, Memela in Shemayim, there's Misorer, there's a wakened up, a Malach. A Malach wakes up and says, I'm going with. And that Malach protects you. Why? Because Yaakov Inu did this. Myself, similar banim, every time we go up against a goy, Yaakov sent a Malach to be with us at all times, to be for us and to be able to take care of us. That's lefanov. In front of him, meaning for future doros. For all the doros that are coming up, all the doros that are coming in, he took care of it and he said, I'm going to get it and do it. And that's the pshat. And Arta Seir Sidei Edom. Sent it over to Seir Sidei Edom. Why was he sending it there? At the end of the parsha, it says that Esav and Yaakov were living together by Yitzchak Avinu. And Esav had to leave because Yaakov Avinu had too many sheep. And that's when he went to Seir. So he wasn't living in Seir yet. He wasn't there. How did Yaakov Avinu even know that he was in Seir Sidei Edom? He was in Eretz Yisrael already. Misami, he was in Eretz Yisrael by Yitzchak Avinu. And if you look geographically, it makes sense that he was by Yitzchak Avinu. Because he crossed the Mavar Yavok, he went this way, that way. He went in a way that would seem like he was going to Be'er Sheva. It seemed like he was going to Be'er Sheva. So what's going on over here? You know what Pshat is? Because stay Edom, Eretz Seir, is not for then. It's for future generations. He sent over these malachim for future generations to go to Eretz Seir, stay Edom. That whenever we fight Edom or Seir or any other Goyim, these malachim are there for us. They take care of us. They watch over us. And what are those malachim? Michael, Malkiel, Shanandiel, the malachim Mamish, that are Ezra Savosinu. Everything that we spoke about of who these malachim are, and Gavriel, and Michal, and their 400 million malachim that were with them, and everybody else, they're coming with in order to take care of. So let me ask you a question. Now that we know that all these malachim are with Yaakov, you know, that he's got all these malachim, the malachim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the malachim from his Kabbalah, from Malchus Shemayim, the malachim of Kriya Shema, the malachim that were all over from his mitzvos, let me ask you something. Where'd they go when he went back for the Pachim Ketanim? How did Yaakov, you know, fight the Satan, fight the Sam by himself? By himself! Where'd the malachim go? Where'd they all go? He had 400 million malachim with them. And by Yeshuva malachim, they came back to him. Where'd they go? And all of a sudden he crosses the river, he goes to the Pachim Ketanim, and he's by himself with the Satan?
The Satan could probably wipe out most of those.
So did he do that? Did he take care of them? Isn't that strange? By Yevaser Yaakov Levado. He was by himself. Where were the malachim? He had millions with him. Where'd they go? That's a strange question. What happened to them? So listen to this. So here we go. Truth is, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, it's a Yesh Omrim in the Medrash as well, that you know who it was that he fought? He fought Michael. He fought Michael. But we have to understand that. Rav Schwab says, it's because Michael allowed it to happen. Because Michael did not cross the river to get the Pachim Ketanim with Yaakov Avinu. And that takes work. Okay, so let's say he didn't fight Michael literally, and it seems strange that he fought Michael. What would Michael be doing? Let's say he didn't. So Michal was blamed for not crossing over the river. But what's pshat? So here we go. This really takes you up throughout the whole parsha. Malachim cannot be dan l'chav schos. Malachim may be able to read minds. It's machlokis and tosos. Tosos has two shitas, whether or not Malachim can really read people's minds and see what people are thinking. But they definitely cannot be dan l'chav schos. If they see a person doing something that looks evil, they'll assume he's doing something bad. When they saw Yaakov, you know, going back over the river to get the Pachim Ketanim, what does it look like? It looks like Yaakov, you know, is cheap. That he cares so much about his money. That he cares so much about his kesef. Cares so much! He has to have his money. Has to have his kesef. Has to have everything with him. Seems so strange. Why'd he go back there? It's little jars. Forget about them. Forget about them. And it seems that that's what the Satan saw when he jumped him. Satan saw, he cares about Gashmias, huh? He cares about Gashmias. Immediately grabbed on to Yaakov, you care about Gashmias, then you're mine. But Yaakov was a different story altogether. And when the Malachim saw that, they left him. He said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're going for Gashmias. The Malachim stayed on the other side of Mavre Yabok. Yaakov, what's wrong with you? What are you thinking? Especially if you understand what Mavre Yabok is. Yud Beis Kuf, by the way, is almost the letters of Yaakov Avinu. It's missing the Ayin. You know what that stands for? 112 is the gematria of the Shem. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Aleph Hey Yud Hey. And Shem Havaya. Yud Kei Vav Kei. 26 plus 21 plus 65 is 112. You're going to have to do a little quick cheshbon on your own, but trust me. It's all together 112. Altogether 112. What's the shot behind that? Because Yaakov was so beyond the Gashmias of this world, he was able to bring his family over Mavar Yabok into a land of Ruchnias. He protected them so completely. So completely. But you know what pshat is? You have to understand something. Yaakov was Yeshli Kol. Kol. He understood that everything that he had, every single thing that God gave him, there was a reason for it. There was a purpose for it. Every jacket, every shirt, every bit of food, he knew there was a reason for it. If he had these Pachim Ketanim, he must need these Pachim Ketanim. There's no reason why you would have gotten it in the first place. There must be something to these Pachim Ketanim. There must be something to it. And he couldn't understand why, but he knew. He went back for a Ruchni reason. But the Malachim couldn't understand that. Malachim looked at that and said, oh, you're going back for Gashmias. We're out of here. Satan says, you're going back for Gashmias. I got you. But Yaakov said, Yesh Li Kol. I've got everything. Anybody know the gematria of Yesh Li Kol? Yesh Li Kol is a gematria of 400. 400 was to combat the Kochos HaTumah Beisav. Esav's koach atum of ayin ra, of being stingy, also the gematria 400, of being stingy and not giving up his money and not giving anything. Yaakov combated it by yesh li kol, and understanding that everything I have is necessary, not being stingy, that I need this, I need that. And went ahead and crossed the river in order to get those pachim kitanim to show Esav, I need everything that I have. And anything that I gave you, I'm able to give you because I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give it right back to me. To give something as a gift that I know is necessary, I know I'll get it back. The pachim kitanim that I'm not giving as a gift to anybody, that I might not get back. And I need to go ahead and get that. That was my next point. How could Yaakov forget them? And at the end, what happens to him? He gets a new name, Yisrael. He says to him, your name's not going to be Yaakov anymore, it's Yisrael. Look at those names. Yaakov is Akev, the heel. Yisrael has the letters Rosh inside there. Li Rosh. Look at that difference between the two. Says the Ma'aril, certain tzaddikim are so high up there in the world up above, they have no sheikhs with us. They can't talk to a human being. They just have no sheikhs. Like they try, a guy starts speaking to him and says, like, so how's everything going? He can't even hear you. What? No? Is this Torah? He just can't hear you. He doesn't understand. He can't fathom it. He just can't picture it. Are you not talking Torah to me? Are you not speaking Torah? Then what are you doing? That's what the guy's thinking to himself. I can't understand it. I can't hear what you're trying to say. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to knock those guys down, bring them back down to this world, because that's how we bring Shefa, the Parnassa that's up there in those worlds. You bring them down by being a person up there in those worlds, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu making sure that you can connect still to those people down here. Yaakovinu had just crossed Mavar Yabok. He was on unbelievably high levels of Yisrael, all the way up there. His Rosh was working. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I need you to save your physical children. I need you back down here to bring Shefa into this world. And he threw him down and made him into Yaakov. How? By making him forget the Pachim Kitanim, those small little jars. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it happen so that Yaakovinu would look like he's back down in Gashmias. And the Satan came up against him and fought him. You're in Gashmias. You're mine. If you're in Gashmias, you're mine. I'll take care of you, says the Satan. Says the Sam. But what did Yaakovinu say back? I'm not Gashmias. I'm all Ruchnias within my Gashmias. I'm Yesh Li Kol. And he was able to fight him. Was able to stand up against the Malach. How can a physical person fight against a Malach made of fire? How can he do it? You can't do it. Only if you're fully Ruchni can you fight a Malach that's Ruchni. You can't do it otherwise. The Malach will destroy you. Satan's not physical. The Satan will destroy you. He's a fire. How do you fight fire? With water. You can't. Well, what are you supposed to do? Yaakov Avinu had no way to fight him except by being totally Ruchni. That's how he had to act. That's the only way that he was able to do it.
Fire.
You ready? That's basically it. And that's why Sutton said to him when he fought him, and he realized that he was able to fight the Sutton, and he wasn't able to get a hold of the Sutton, wasn't able to get a hold of him. He said, you're not Yaakov. You're Yisrael. Even in this world, you can talk with Hashem, Ba'anoshim, Ba'tuchal. And you're able to do it. You can deal with everything in this world and still be Ruchni. That's how great of a person Yaakovinu was. You can deal with the Gashmis in this world. You can deal with the Gashmis and still be Ruchni. You're an unbelievable person. You're not an Akev. You're not a heel. Down here in the world, you're a Yisrael. You're a Rosh in this world. That's what he went down and told them, and that's why he switched around his name. Malach of Esav couldn't understand that. A Malach only has one simple job in this world. A person can be all over the place. In this world, the next world, he can be all over the place. But a Malach only has one simple job. You know what the Satan's job is? Satan's job is Sheker. Yaakovinu's job is, what was his Mida? Emes. Yaakovinu's face was on the Kisei HaKavod. His Li Rosh. He's all the way up there. He's Emes. And Emes makes it all the way up there to the Kisei HaKavod. You know, there's two opinions in the Midrashim about what the Satan's name is. When he said, Mashimcha, tell me what your name is. And what did he say? Anybody remember? What was the wording in Hebrew? Lama zet tishalishmi. Why are you asking for my name? Obviously, Yaakov had a reason. So what was his name? So Midrashim had two opinions. Medrash Rabba, Medrash Tanchuma says his name is Sam. Sam Kael. Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. The Satan, the Sar of Esav. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says his name is, you ready for this? Yisrael. That was his name. And he gave his name over to Yaakov Avinu. That's his name. Says Rav Schwab, how can he be named Yisrael? Says Rav Schwab, How can Reform rabbis call themselves rabbis? You hear that? How can Reform rabbis call themselves rabbis? How can the Christians say that the Torah is theirs? They use the Torah Shabbat Chassav and they say it's theirs. You ready for this? Now, be careful with this. I know what's going on tape. How could the Israeli government call themselves a Jewish state? That's what he said. He says it in the Sefer, Main Beis HaShoeva. They're not Jewish. They have nothing to do with Judaism. It's not Israel. It's not even B'nai Yisrael. It doesn't stand for Kofrim and Apikorsis. You know what the Satan stands for? A total lie. To look on the outside like he's good, while on the inside he's garbage. Isn't that what Esav is? Esav's the pig. Esav's the pig. He shows, I got split hooves. Yeah, but do you chew your cud? Don't ask. Don't ask. That's what he stands for. You know what it is? It's so crazy. This Satan pretends he's Yisrael. Says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, you know what he looks like? He looks like a Talmud Chacham. He's got pious. He's got pious. He wears a frock. He wears a top hat. He looks good. He's got tzitzis outside his shirt. Tzitzis outside his shirt. He looks stark. Stark! He looks like Yisrael. He looks like B'nai Yisrael, the Talmud Chacham of B'nai Yisrael. But what is he? He's a Satan. He's Sam Kale. He's poison. Absolute poison. Absolute poison, because he's all sheker, and he can't understand emes. He has no idea what it means to be emes. When he sees Yaakov going back for the Pachim Ketanin, all he thinks is, he's Gashmias. He couldn't even understand, oh, maybe there's a thought of Rukhani of Yesh Likol within me. Couldn't even understand that. He's garbage. Garbage. So crazy. So absolutely crazy. Such an unbelievable line that hit him. So what was the other name? Lamazet Tishalashmi. So the Gros says that was the Malach's name. You know why? Because what does the Satan do if you want to do a sin? You know, the Satan tells you to do something. Let's say, why should I go to the Night Seder tonight? The Bears are playing. It's a great game. The Bears lose this game, they're probably out of the playoffs. Probably out of the playoffs. But if they win, it's a good game. It's downtown Chicago. They're playing the Saints. It's Thursday night. You know, why don't I just watch the Bears game? And when you say, yeah, but I got to learn. What does that tishalish mean? Just stop asking questions. Just go. Just watch the game. Just watch the game. Stop asking any questions. The Gita Nasha that was hit by Yaakov, you know, it's the only part of a body that doesn't have any taste. A sinew has no taste. Every other part of the body has some type of a taste. Even a tooth has taste to it. There's a taste even to teeth. But a sinew has no taste. There's no taste. You can chew it all you want. It's like bubble gum. Bubble gum without the taste. It's nothing. It's just you can chew it all you want. It does nothing. You know why? Because there's no time to what the Satan tells you to do. So what does that teach all of me? Why ask? Just do it. Ask questions later. Deal with it later. That's the shot behind the Satan. He's such sheker. Such sheker. On the outside, he looks awesome. I got a great idea for you. On the inside, he's mamish garbage. Mamish garbage stands for nothing. That's all the Satan is. That's the idea behind it. And by the way, how do you break the Satan? How do you break him? So you break him by knocking down your taivas, knocking down your desires. So what do you do to knock down your taivas? Don't eat. So you want to hear a Shachal HaTorah? Shachal HaTorah says, Al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael's gira nosha. Therefore, b'nei Yisrael will not eat the gira nosha. You ready for this? Al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael, therefore b'nei Yisrael fasts on the following days. Es, Aleph Tov, is Tisha of, and Tainis Esther. Gid, Gimel, is Tzom Gedalia, the third of Tishrei, that's Gimel. Yud is Asar Bateves and Yom Kippur. Gimel Yud Dalid is the 17th. It's 17 altogether for the 17th of Tammuz. That's all six fast days. Hanosha, during Hashanah, during the year. That's why B'nai Yisrael don't eat during the year these six times, because they want to knock down their taivas. They want to knock down their taivas because just when the Satan get up in them, they said, oh, we won't eat the Gid Hanosha. They won't get up against it. That's a Shachal HaTorah. Unbelievable stuff. All right, we're not going to be able to finish all this. We won't be able to do all this altogether, but we have to. I'm going to mamish run through this. Are you ready for this? And this is the word to kill all. That level of Yaakov Avinu, that tournament to Yisrael, Yesh Li Kol, to know that everything is all good and that everything is necessary and that everything is all good, that's a level that no one else can get on. That's a level where when your daughter is raped, you're silent and you don't say a thing. You don't say a thing. Your daughter's raped. And the guy has the audacity to come up to you and say, do you mind if I marry your daughter? What the heck is wrong with you? You're coming up to me and asking me to marry my daughter if you raped her? She's 7 years old. Maybe 8. 7 or 8 years old Dina was. According to all she does. I saw in the back that Rav Aryeh Kaplan has in the Living Torah, she was 12. I have no idea where he gets his chashbon from. It's Vade 7 or 8 years old. Vade 7 or 8 years old. Rapes her. And not only does he not say anything to Shechem, he's silent. Silent. Doesn't say a thing. The Shvatim come back. Can you imagine the uncomfortableness of the situation? So I'd like to marry your daughter. Sir, please, I'd like to marry your daughter. Silence! You didn't say a thing! Reuven and Shimon and Levi come in, and they get there, and they're angry on the inside. On the outside, they show, and they're like, oh, I can't believe you did this. We got to give you guys bris milas. And on the inside, sharpening their knives. Sharpening their knives, getting themselves ready to destroy the entire city. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi got up there, and they said it. Yaakov, he's silent! Your daughter was just raped! How is that possible? How is that shaykh? Moshe Rabbeinu got to the 49th level of Kedusha. Couldn't go any further. Couldn't go any further than the 49th level. He wanted to get to the 50th level, never could understand it. The reason why he couldn't do it is because he could never understand why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people. Could never get that. Could never understand that. Every medrash that has a shayla of Moshe Rabbeinu has to do with that concept. Why is Bnei Yisrael being punished after I came? Why is that guy losing his wallet, if anybody knows that medrash? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? He always asks the question, why? That why is the 50th level. That 50th level is called Tsur. Tsur. Hatsur Tamim Palo, the rock. Perfect is everything he does. Kol Durachov Mishpat, everything he does is with judgment. Everything he does is true. Tsur stands for Tzadik Viralo. A good person and bad things happen to him. Tzadik Viralo. That's Tsur.
Rabbi Akiva.
Same story.
Rabbi Akiva was one of the very few who were able to go up to that parties, were able to go that far and understand that things happen and I'm not going to fully understand it. Things happen and I can't really fully get it. He was the one who was able to come up with the concept, Kol Da'avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid. Everything that God does is for the good. Nachum Ish Gamzu Latova was his Rebbe. He was able to say Gamzu Latova. Rebbe Kiva went a step further. Kol Da'avid Rachman Latav Avid. Notice the word? Kol Da'avid Rachman Latav Avid. Kol. Who is the guy who said Yeshli Kol? Yaakov Avinu. Now let's go. Yaakov and Akiva is only off by one letter. One letter. Yaakov and Akiva is only off by an Aleph. Otherwise they have the same letters of their name. You know what the pshat is? Rabbi Akiva, when he became from, what did he see? He saw a huge rock with water dripping down into it. He saw the tsur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that bad things happen to good people. And the water drips into it. Eventually, we might be able to understand it. We'll get a drop in the bucket of what's out there. But we'll never understand the entire thing. Yaakov Avinu was missing one letter. Because there was one chisaron in Yaakov Avinu. When the maisim happened that were bad, he sat there and he said, I understand it, God. I understand it. But you know the one thing that he did that was wrong? It was at the end. That's why Akiva, the Aleph that he's missing, is at the end of the name. At the very end, when Paro went up to him and said, how was your life? And he said, Ma'at Varoyim. At the end of the day, he said it was a very hard life. A very hard life. When it happened, he understood everything's for the best. Afterward, he said it was a very hard life. What do you mean it was a hard life? It was Kulo Tov. Kulo Tov. That's what he should have said to Paro. Kulo Tov. Rabbi Akiva would have said Kulo Tov. Yaakov Avinu was not yet on that level to get to Kulo Tov. He was on the 50th level. Rabbi Akiva was higher than that. He's able to add on that little aleph to his name. It took Yaakov Avinu 77 years to get there. 77 years to roll the rock off the well and to understand that Tsur is there. That the rock of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there and that there's things that God does that we don't understand. That we don't understand. When he saw the Maisa of Dina and Shechem, and he saw the Milos that could come out of such a thing, he knew that Shechem stood for Shem Kevod Malchuso. Shem Kevod Malchuso. He understood that there was something in Shechem, there was Kedusha in Shechem, that he wasn't going to get anywhere else. He knew that Dina was Midas Adin. And he knew that if Shem Kevod Malchuso, the Midah of Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, raping Midas Adin, means Midas Adin is knocked down to the Rachamim. And who's the level of Rachamim among the Avos? Chesed is Avram. Din is Yitzchak. Who's Rachamim? Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu understood that this Maisa had to happen. that Shechem had to rape Dinah to take down the Midas Adin. It had to happen this way. Now, you're right, there was a little bit of znus involved, and that was Reuben and Shimon. Hakezayna yasa achoseinu. Shimon and Levi kaim, hakezayna yasa achoseinu. But he understood she was 7 years old. She was 8 years old. There's no taiva here. There's no natural taiva. It was supernatural. It was a cheshek, a desire, a spiritual desire that Shechem saw. There was a ruchnius thing in Dinah. And Yaakov realized there's ruchnius that Shechem wanted to take out of Dinah. He messed up. He did it in a bad way, but he had great intentions. He wasn't doing it in the wrong way. You don't stam rape a 7 year old. You don't stam rape a 7 year old. Even back then, it was wrong. And Yaakov knew that. Yaakov realized that there's something wrong over here, and therefore he was silent. Therefore, he suddenly understood the level that was on here. But the Shvatim, Shimon and Levi said, no, it can't happen this way. It happened too badly. We're going to do it again. And Shimon married Dinah. Meaning, Dinah and Shechem, their neshamos have to come back. And those neshamos, as we'll speak about later on when it comes time, came back into Cozbi and Zimri. Look at their names. Cozbi Bas, Suhur. Oh, the rock comes back. What was Zimri's real name? Shlumiel ben Suri Shadoi. Shocking. Shocking. Zimri taking Cozbi. The idea behind it, the tikkun wasn't yet. The tikkun, it was supposed to be in a good way, but it was still done through Znus. What was Zimri the shevet of? Zimri was the shevet of? Shimon. Pinchas, who killed him, was from what shevet? Levi. Whoa! Shimon and Levi came back, and Levi was able to be metakin, but Shimon still screwed up. 24,000 people of Shechem became the 24,000 people of Bnei Shimon. They all died. They weren't able to be metakin it. Those 24,000 people, they all had to come back into the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva took on the final tzur. He became Zimri, who was originally Shechem, Shechem ben Chamor. Shechem ben Chamor, Shechem the son of a donkey. What did Rabbi Akiva say when he was in Amaretz? He wanted to bite the Talmidei Chachamim like a donkey. Say like a dog, Rabbi. That's what the Gemara says. Say like a dog. No, donkeys break bones. It's punched. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The final tikkun was him understanding that he had to go ahead and take Ashes Turnus Rufus, the wife of not Rachel, Rachel, the original wife, Ashes Turnus Rufus, who was the other Zona, who was Cozbi, who was Dinah, to take her in a way that was behetter. So even though Ashes Turnus Rufus dressed up like a Zona and tried to get Rabbi Akiva to have bia with her, biznus, and to continue the problem of not understanding Tzur, Rabbi Akiva was able to look at it and laugh and spit and cry and realize that there's a level to this world that's so beyond our understanding, so beyond our understanding. I said to Ashes Turnus Rufus, and could say it honestly, you're trying to have bia with me now, I know that we're going to have bia behetar soon. You're going to become a gioris and I'm going to marry you. I have no problem with it. He was able to finally be metakin the neshama of Dinah l'shem kavod malchuso, to do it in the right way. And that's why, if you have a name of Shem Kavod Malchuso, you have a name that the Kavod of the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to die Al Kiddush Hashem. And that's why Rabbi Akiva had to die the way he did. A lot more to this, obviously. This is like the beginning. Shem Kavod Malchuso, to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu within your name, to have the honor of the glory of the kingdom of God within you at all times.
What kind of names are those?
And that is that, my friends. And Yaakov Avinu was finally able to be metakin, because Yaakov was also Megalgal unto Rabbi Akiva. Yaakov Avinu was finally able to be metakin what he was silent for in the first place. Shkoya, guys, we'll stop.